Thank you. Well, you've had it. Here and there amongst us are cases that fit in various categories. And your needs, wants, strivings, cravings, all that's it, all going to be squared up right now. Okay? All right, let's get to work. I often told you that I forgotten my notes, and today I haven't forgotten them. All right. The title of this lecture is Clearing Processes. And very rapidly here, I'm simply going to spit out the various techniques which are needful and necessary at this time, with comments thereon, in order to theta clear somebody. We're going to condense this. It's going to be very rapid. And I don't think it'll probably do you any good to take any notes on this, because you have to know it. Your notebook doesn't, but you do. All right. Now, the first and foremost thing that we have to hand here, first and foremost thing, is types of cases. Now, we've already described these types of cases pretty well in the last lecture, right? Now, I'm going to give you the processes necessary to resolve those cases. And here we go. This is theta clear schedule. I don't say that this won't be improved and amended. This actually is based on HGC allowed processes as of May 21st, 1959. This is the ladder of processes which have done it. These are pretty well tested out. Theta clear procedure. All right. For use on unconscious and fixedly psychotic persons unwilling to be audited. First process is you make that body sit in that chair, OTR5, remember? Or you make that body lie in that bed. Or you make that body stand where it is. Get the idea? This also could be where you are. Thank you. And CCH1, CCH2, CCH3, and CCH4, all of which are the subject of HBABSCN curricula. The only note that should be added here, and it should be added with an exclamation point, is if you can't handle CCH, don't use it. You can goof somebody if you don't know your CCH. You understand? It's something like using CCH, something like getting somebody who does not know anything about nitroglycerin and say, well, here, store and supply some. Yeah, well, you're in charge of nitroglycerin. Now he says, what's this stuff? Trickle, 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 boom. Actually, although it occasionally appears that nothing is happening in CCH, nothing, whatever, is happening in CCH. Actually, you could just be damaging the living daylights out of the case if you don't know how to use it. The intention has got to reach that PC. It has got to be very regular. You can't goof. You can't let up suddenly. You can't get tired of it all. You can't leave it unflat. This is tricky stuff, CCH. And it is a very... sometimes works very rapidly, sometimes takes a very long time. It is very arduous to use on children. It is a very strenuous process to use on children, but in good hands will have a considerable beneficial effect upon children. And many things to say for the process, but let me tell you something. Any process that works at that level will work at any level. So this isn't necessarily because somebody's using this process. It doesn't mean that he is declaring the PC psychotic. It'll work at any level, but that is the process that is used at the level of unconscious and fixedly psychotic persons. That is, say, a person who is in a tremendous dispersal, unaware of the auditor, a tremendous fixation, unaware of the auditor, and who has been that way for quite a while. Got it? Not just didn't happen in the session. Now, that's a person who's been that way for a long time. Okay? By the way, CCH1 will run out electric shocks. So-called therapeutic psychiatric electric shocks. This thing has quite a record. Now, it doesn't necessarily, however, put the PC up very high. It simply puts him up to a place where he can be audited further. But it puts him within range of other processes. And you're now scraping bottom with these two processes. And those are, you make that body sit in that chair or lie on that bed or be where you are, not be as you are. CCH 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, now that announces the bedrock. You should know that for a year or two, or more, actually more, from late 1951, straight through actually until the end of 1957, my whole concern was trying to find bottom. Where was bottom? Well, we've got bottom now. If you notice, I haven't been paying any attention to bottom now for about a year and a half, 2 years. I haven't been worrying about it. But that I'm not worrying about it doesn't mean we haven't got it wrapped up. You see, there it is. And you shouldn't lose grip on that fact, that is bottom. If these don't work, why, probably the PC's been dead for some time. All right? All right, next grade. Next grade up. For use on persons unwilling to be audited at any time. Yes, for use on persons unwilling to be audited. They're awake, but unwilling to be audited. You could say, well, they're psychotic, or they're neurotic, or they're sporadically this or that, or they're government officials or something of the sort. But they're just unwilling to be audited. Well, these people could be said to have a great many things wrong with them, but the button which turns on some willingness to be audited is help. And so the answer to the person who is unwilling to be audited at any time, that doesn't mean he suddenly becomes unwilling to be audited in a session. You see, that's another type of case. This is the person who chronically doesn't want any of that stuff. You understand? And he is undone with, how could you help me and how could I help you? Now you get each question answered, use lots of two-way comm, and don't Q&A with a bunch of reasons. You can go chasing over the hills and far away with all kinds of reasons and get lost in the jungle of his own unreason. So there's no reason to get lost in such a jungle. You just keep on pressing home this question. You fool him utterly by using a reasonable tone of voice, not by Q&A-ing with his reasons. Don't ever argue. Just use a reasonable tone of voice. Be rather quiet about the whole thing. And just insist that you get an answer. Use two-way comm that separates the one question from another. Don't necessarily go in on a repetitive. Now, how could you help me? Well, he didn't answer it, so you say, well, I'll repeat the auditing question. How could you help me? See, he doesn't go in for that sort of thing. He'll escape what little control there is. And you have to use two-way comm to keep him sitting there. And get him actually to answer that question. This requires some cleverness on the part of an auditor, but the questions he wants answered are, how could you help me, and how could I help you? Now, you actually are going for broke right straight toward the help button, because that is the button that is jammed on that case. There's only a half a dozen buttons that determine various cases, but this one, on the person who's unwilling to be audited at any time, is the jammed button. Whatever else is wrong with him, that button has to be undone before any other button can be approached. You know, Well, once more, there are tremendous numbers of things wrong with the PC. There are also a great many things right with the PC. And it's one thing for you to sit in the auditor's chair and observe the PC and see what's wrong with him. And it's quite another thing for the PC to sit there, overwhelmed by a great many ancient causes of one kind or another, and know anything about what's wrong with him. You see, that's quite another thing. Now, you, in watching the wrongnesses in the PC and seeing what actually is doing that is in error and so on, actually could decide he was unwilling to be audited because. He's unwilling to be audited because. No, he is not unwilling to be audited because of anything except help. There is the one button that has been mishmashed and abused, and you've got to bring some release to that button before you get any place with this case. Now, a case that is just vaguely reluctant to be audited and is very diffident is wrongly handled by the auditor, who departs completely from his procedures and techniques and Q's and A's with the upset of the person or embarrassment of the person on the subject of auditing. If this person is expressing coyness, diffidence, they're not quite sure, they don't know whether we should go on this way or something of the sort, you only got one answer, and that's the person's unwilling to be audited at any time. You got one answer? Two-way help bracket. How could you help me? How could I help you? Now, everybody exhibits an unwillingness to be audited sometime or another in the session when you get near something hot. But that is session unwillingness. This is right from the beginning. And they use many mechanisms to be unwilling to be audited, such as having appointments, being too busy. Get the idea? Expecting calls imminently, not having any time to do it, not having any money. I imagine there are people around London right now and around other parts of the world right this minute who are keeping themselves broke for fear that they might buy some auditing. All right. Now, there may be some other grades or types of case that aren't necessarily covered in this. They're either less important or we haven't run into them, and just at this casual glance and so forth, they're not actually of tremendous importance to thee or me, you see. There's only one case here that would require a very special look, and that is the case that is ill. Case that is acutely, which is, say, momentarily ill. Now, this case you run into every now and then. He stumbles in, and he has a cold, and he's upset in general, and so forth. Now, that is a special case that actually isn't looked at as a general case, but it nevertheless is sometimes, to an auditor, an important case. Just what do you do for this person? All right. Then we'd say, for use on persons who are temporarily ill. And that would be simply this. Determine, first off, if during auditing something wasn't kicked or a process wasn't flattened. The first thing to do is flatten if you find one, you see. That should have been, by the way, during the last week or two before his illness. 10 days is the outside time of restimulation. Restimulation lasts from 3 to 10 days, for your technical information. If you kick an engram in, it is very seldom that it goes further than from 3 to 10 days. There are some cases, however, which have had something wrong with them earlier in this life, which they have then gotten over by reason of auditing, and which have been turned back on by auditing. You possibly know of some such cases. For years and years and years, why, Mr. Joe Blow had no hay fever. He had no hay fever, And then he got audited, and he suddenly came down with hay fever. You must have triggered something there that had to do with that hay fever. And it is always, underscore, always, an unflat process. It wasn't the process that did it. It was the non-flatness of the process, providing the process, of course, was anything recognizable as a process. Now, that's the first thing to do, is to scout the thing over and find out if some process, self-audited or other-audited. That must be included in it, too. Because fellows go around reading books and auditing themselves every now and then. And find out if this illness wasn't turned on by some process. Now, the thing to do is to use the same process that was used, just the way it was used, and continue it on to a flat point. Unless, of course, you found out that a condition was being audited rather than a terminal. It's always a bad mistake to audit conditions. And it will sometimes make somebody very sick. Now, in that particular case, if you found that it was a condition that was audited and he got ill because of the condition being audited, then you had better find the most closely related terminal to that condition and flatten off that process using the terminal instead. You got that? It's not even tricky. You see, it's a colossal blunder to audit a condition without backing it up somehow or another with a terminal. Once in a blue moon, you get away with it, and it makes you enthusiastic. And you throw away this little rule of thumb, and then you run into trouble. You start auditing a condition, not a terminal, and here we go. What do we mean by a terminal? A terminal is something that can give or receive or relay communication. Definition of a terminal. Basically, it has some mass. All right. What else do you do? Supposing this isn't that type of case. See, there's type A and type B here. The person who had a rhinogram run halfway through and then came down with a cold. We have to realize that this can occur. All right, we've handled him. Now let's handle B. This fellow's walking up the street. It has nothing to do with auditing. All of a sudden, he starts to wheeze and shake and come down with chronic and acute upper and lower lumbosis. And he goes to bed, and the medico comes around and pours him full of the stuff, and you don't know whether you're going or coming with such a case. There's two things you can do. I'm telling you straight here. There are two things you can do. The body cues and A's with certain chemical substances. The body will cue and A with certain chemical substances, and some mean get well, and some mean die, and so forth. It's the most wonderful symbol system you ever heard of. It is not reliable, but it is quite interesting. Quite interesting. Just as you can show a person a restimulator for his worst chronic engram and get the thing into restimulation, get him all upset and worried, and even turn on the somatics of it, just by showing him some part, some present-time counterpart of his engram. You see, that's known as the associative restimulator or the restimulator. Showing him one of those, he goes into restimulation, he gets upset. All right, we know about that. Now, don't think it isn't any different in a body where chemicals are concerned. You can take various drugs of one kind or another. You can take strychnine, you show the body. The body, to see anything, has to feel it and surround it and be in very intimate relationship with something in order to observe it at all. And you take this fellow and show him some strychnine, pour a little bit down his throat and so forth, and the heart will speed up. That's about all that will happen, because the body is a little bit worried. It knows just a little bit more of that, and it's had it. All soporifics, given in adequate quantity, are poisons, which is something to know. All soporifics are given in adequate quantity poisons, and all stimulants given in adequate quantity are depressants. I love these pharmaceutical comments that something is a stimulant and something is a depressant. This is very wonderful. They don't say how much of it is most of the time. They just classify something as a stimulant. They say opium is a soporific. And heroin is a stimulant. I don't know what the dividing line is beyond quantity. You give a little bit of opium to somebody, and he's stimulated. A tiny amount of opium, and he's stimulated. And you give him a little more, and he goes to sleep. And you give him a little more, and he kicks the bucket. And that is true of all, each and every chemical compound which had a decided effect upon the body. It's in three classes. Each compound is in three classes. And stimulant, depressant, and poison. Now, there are some things which do some peculiar things. The body gets in conjunction with mold, and it reads certain connotations off of some of these symbols, which is very interesting. And it gets in touch with penicillin, and it says penicillin. Well, that means don't create. That's all penicillin means. And don't create. Well, unfortunately for bacteria, it sometimes gets in contact with penicillin. And to a body cell, it simply says depress. And to the bacteria, it says die. You know? But that's a nice question. See? Sometimes it doesn't say die to the bacteria at all. It says die to the body. See? And we get terrific, they call it terrific allergy to penicillin. Guy frankly kicks the bucket. It's working on the body cells. It's not working on the bacteria. And the bacteria just flourishes and has a good time. And so it's on these nice little judgments as to what's going on. Penicillin is actually classifiable, only it stimulates, depresses, or kills off reproduction. It's highly selective. Similarly, sulfa. And it's interesting, medical profession has never learned that one of these symbols is only good until something decides to be causative toward the symbol, and the symbol's effect is no longer valid. That's quite interesting. So therefore, they run through medicine, and there'll be fads and eras of medicine. You see, like phlebotomy or something, where they put fleas on somebody's neck. Or was that leechectomies? When they used to bleed them, they'd get well. It really worked. It really worked, you see, and then after a while it didn't work. And so on. It's the symbol or the meaning of the action as interpreted by the body or life forms. That is the whole thing. Now, many people in Scientology are so conditioned to this constant wear out of symbols, you see, the invention of new symbols and destruction of old symbols, that they think you need a new process every now and then. No, what we need is a valid process, you see. Only we need a process that's sufficiently valid to undo the invalidations of the process, you see. But you every once in a while run across PC who has to have a new process every few days. Old processes wear out and the new process. It's quite interesting. Scientology does not parallel medicine in this regard. Processes do flatten, but that you're trying to produce the same effect as wearing out a medicine on the PC. But PC to PC, you get the process worn out and it wears out, and that's it. You're trying to get the individual in a causative state toward certain key postulates, which, when made, thereafter aberrated him. You're actually trying to produce the same effect, you see. But you show him a symbol. Show him a symbol of some kind or other, he restimulates. You show the body something, and it reacts in one of three ways. Stimulates, depresses, or dies. Now, a state of quasi-death, or succumb, somewhere along this line, is what we know as sickness. And we're not so much interested in whether bacteria or medical journals cause the sickness. We're not much interested in that. But we are interested in the fact that the individual has become the effect of something. Now, if we can find the exact thing that the individual has become the effect of, and just run something on the order of over with whole straight wire on that one button, we would snap him. See, that would be a very, very neat, nice case of assessment, though, wouldn't it? That would really have to be done with a fine-tooth demeter. We'd have to sneak up on that one. All right. The first selection, then, to make somebody well depends on this. How far gone is he? All right. If he's too far gone, what have we got? You make that body lie on that bed. That's about as low as you can get, you see. Quite effective in its way. In its way. At least wake him up. But don't be upset if it doesn't cure him, because certainly it won't cure him. It won't. It'll just make him a little bit causative toward the body and the mind, and you can audit him. But now what are you going to run on him? Well, if you did a good assessment on the thing, you have a number of things you could run with overt withhold straight wire, right? What have you done to and what have you withheld from whatever it was that overwhelmed him? Get the idea? That's a tricky one. Well, that works on any kind of an illness or any kind of an accident if you get the right button. And if you don't, you're auditing somebody who is ill and who's going to resent it. Because all you'll do is tire him. You've got the wrong target. Get the idea? Now, in an effort to get around judgment, there are many processes developed of greater or lesser use. First and foremost of those is havingness. And you might say that it is relatively safe. You can't say it is always safe. It is relatively safe to take some person who can obey an auditing command. You know, he's sick, but he can obey an auditing command. We've already gotten him up from unconsciousness if he was there. And run havingness on him. Factual havingness. That's a safe action. Perfectly safe action. Now, to say that you could run havingness and then overt withhold straight wire, and that this would invariably and always be the case, might be a mistake. Because having this isn't as good as overt withhold straight wire if you had the right button. And if you can't find the right button, why, you have to resort to having this. You get the idea? And there's also a CCH2 sort of thing that you can run on somebody in bed. You just consider the parts of the bed as the walls of the room and transpose the commands accordingly. Now, trying to make him causative toward what bit him is the panacea. Now, you start running bacteria, and you may be running a totally non-factual terminal. Maybe totally non-factual. We don't know at all that bacteria exists in itself, and it itself may be a product of the body which is made on the demonstration of the proper symbol. Bodies may make different types of bugs by being shown different symbols. You see? And you might get a whole plague just by introducing into the society the proper symbol. It's all very well to say bubonic plague and that sort of thing always comes from rats who are always on fleas and all that sort of thing. But I got bubonic plague once from a needle. Doctor gave it to me. Lots of statement on his part, you see, that this was bubonic plague. And this was the serum for bubonic plague. And that I had to take this serum before I could be shipped abroad and be given the extreme pleasure of fighting some fellow I'd never been properly introduced to. Now, you see, we just don't know the positive button, so that your judgment in this case is invited. Definitely. Now, you can't read a medical journal and say, well, tubercle bacilli are the silly things that upset the lumbo and therefore, you say, well, we run overt withhold on tubercle bacilli because he's got tubercle bacilli. He might not have that at all. He might have a blow in the chest with a war club. That may be his sickness. And this causes the body to produce bacteria. See? It's not good enough to show that bacteria can be developed in test tubes, and which then given to mice then produce all sorts of weird reactions, and every time produce cancer, and don't smoke melacrinos or something of that sort. You see? These fads go and come, and I think illnesses go and come. There are a great many illnesses around at this moment which didn't used to be around. There are a great many illnesses of the past which are no longer with us. So the fads and times change. So handling this individual who's acutely ill depends on just one factor. And that is to get him causative toward the thing that is making him ill. So therefore, it requires in handling illness, the acutely ill PC, that you find that thing. Now, maybe you have to get him pretty conscious in order to use knee meter on him or something like that. You have to be pretty slippery. You have to be very good at assessment. If you can't find it, you've always got such a thing as havingness, factual havingness. And if you get him to run factual havingness to come up the line, make him go toward cause, toward the operation he's just had, or the illness he's just had, something of that sort. You could say, invent a problem, common magnitude to a sick body. Get the idea. If that's what's troubling him, that's what he's basically being the effect of, let us say. But that's not always correct either, because I remember one Thetan vividly, one person. He was a person. He didn't really know his thing. And he kept coughing. And every auditor, I think, in the first ACC audited this fellow to try to get him to get rid of his cough, because the cough was embarrassing to other Scientologists, you see. It was déclassé. And he kept coughing and coughing. And a year or so later, I got a fantastic idea, which I've been known to get, and I said to myself, you know, that body isn't coughing. It's the Thetan that's coughing. And I made him get about 10 feet back of his head and cough as a Thetan. As far as I know, he hasn't coughed since. I got him to take over the automaticity of his coughing. The body never did cough. It was only a Thetan coughing. Well, now, similarly, of course, he might not be suffering from a sick body at all. He might be suffering from a sick Thetan. You get the notion? Now, you ask somebody to run a Thetan, and although a Thetan answers up as a terminal, there is not enough mass connected with it, with many cases or cases that are acutely downscaled through illness, to run it as a terminal. You've got difficulties on your hands, and I leave you there. But you could be totally a wizard with this, all depending on your ability to assess and the experience which you pick up as you go along the line. Now, lacking confidence or failing to attain success on a momentarily or a few week ill person, you have another route. And the family always thinks better of you, and the public always thinks better of you, if you follow another course entirely, which is merely give the sick person all the attention you can dream up and run out his explanation. He's explaining his illness by saying he needs attention. He's using it as a service fact of some sort or another. And you'll find out this very often gives up if you give him attention. Well, there are various ways to give him attention. Get him a nurse. Get him a doctor. Put him in a special room. Put him on arduously, awfully hard to maintain schedules. You know, you take a pink pill at 20 minutes after the hour, 3.5 blue pills, 45 minutes past the hour, and then every hour on the hour, take 7 green ones, but skip every odd-numbered hour. His attention is given to it, and he gets the idea it's being as-ised. And this makes him feel stronger, and he'll start to as-is it himself, and very often get well, simply by giving him attention. There are various mechanisms to do so. Then there are certain specific items which, in enough cases to make it interestingly worthwhile, do succumb to medicine symbols sometimes. You know? And they do succumb to medicine symbols every once in a while in the body. But this is a risky proposition, and I would be very much in error to put it on record that medicine invariably and always cures all illnesses. And I can tell you forcefully that surgery has never been known to, in my experience. And I speak to you now as not a currently licensed practitioner, but I was a pretty good one around the middle 1900s. And the more we hacked, the less we had. It was just blossoming into view in those days. And, we produce an adequate mental shock on the individual, and almost anything can happen. You see, he could change Well, surgery should be looked on basically as a method of mending or reassembling bones or structure in a sort of a crude way, like a bricklayer would or something like that, or a carpenter, or in producing some sort of a shock that will change the attitude of mind of the person, but the shock is never good for him. You just overwhelm him again. To be safe in any society, current Western society, call the doctor. Call him in, ask him for his consultation, square him around. And the funny part of it is, very often you're dealing with something which is routinely surrendering these days to certain medical symbols. Routinely surrendering. Well, if it's routinely surrendering, why should you worry about it? Get the idea? You never want to fight a medico. Always work in conjunction with them. But don't let them go too far. Don't let them go too far, because they can mess up the PC on you so that you don't know what you've got. Such a thing as surgically inserting a bone down the inside of the tibia in order to correct some old illness of one kind or another. Boy, you're gonna have to be an awful good OT to as is a stainless steel rod that has been shoved down in the middle of the marrow of somebody's leg. And I've got PCs around, actually, that have had selectively removed various vertebrae. Oh, man. How you going to grow a new vertebrae? You're all right as long as you don't have to build parts or remove piping. So, as I say, a medico can go too far. And when he goes into the field of delivering shocks of one kind or another, whether surgical, electrical, or mental, and so forth, why, I'm afraid he's definitely invaded your sphere. Now, so much for the sick person. Frankly, the easiest course in any acutely ill person is to let him recover and then audit him. That's the easiest course. It makes you sweat less. That's the easiest course. Not the best, but the easiest. All right. It's pretty successful most of the time, too. So it's not necessarily not recommended. Fellow's got a bad cold. He's in the middle of an intensive. He gets a bad cold. Knock it off. Don't waste his auditing hours curing a cold, because what's really wrong with him, let us say, is mother. There it comes into the field of economics. You see, of how are you going to spend his auditing time? And if he just lays off and the cold is going to depart and get well by three chairs, you're not wasting auditing time on it. But you're going to find other people who will not get well and easily. And there you wouldn't be wasting auditing time. So the whole thing is a terrific matter of judgment, isn't it? All right, so much for that. Now, for use on persons unwilling to be audited by reason of session errors. And here we have TR5N. Here's the PC that was going along just fine till you opened your big mouth. They were kind of doped off for a moment or two. It happens to the best of us. You're kind of doped off for a moment or two. And he says, well, my wife is the most horrible old bag I ever heard of. She is terrible. She's always irresponsible. And I finally got her pegged on a tone scale at 1-1. You say, that's right. That's right. I think that's true. Well, things go from worse to worser after that, you see. You've agreed at the wrong place. Something like that, you know. Or he got too personal and you've had a long, hard day, and he just got too darn personal and you finally said to hell with you, you know? Something like that. And after that, he says, well, I'm not going to be audited to you anymore. I'm not going to play. Or just a PC who was ARC breaking rather routinely, and you're not doing much of anything but trying to give him help. You're trying to give him help, and he just ARC breaking. Well, actually, the ARC break is that you were sitting there, and you actually are dealing with a case who is unwilling to be audited, but we don't go into that one. See? He did sit down. which was the deciding factor. Now, if the ARC breaks after he sits down, you've got TR5N, which is, of course, nothing more than what have I done wrong? And how is it now? And what have you done wrong? And how is it now? That's the simplest one. That's old TR5N. What have I done wrong? Get that cleared up. What has he done wrong? Get that all cleared up. Now we sail. Now, of course, you know, that isn't technically accurate. What you did wrong has actually very little bearing on his reaction to what you did. It is what you did is probably some associative restimulator on what is really wrong. So you start plunging in on overt act withhold on an auditor. You're auditing out a survival valence. And you lay off those survival valences, you hear me? Those pro-survival valences. Here you've got this guy propped up. He's a kind of a crazy structure of sticks and old mud. And he's propped up one way or the other with great ramshackleness. And you come in, and there's only one thing, let us say, is holding him up. He's growling about this person, all that sort of thing. Oh, he says, this is terrible, this is terrible, it's terrible. The awful thing that was done to me by my teacher. My teacher is just terrible at school and just did a terrible thing. And Needle isn't very active on it, but it may be a little active. And the teacher's just terrible, 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 and so on. You ought to explore those things a little bit before you reach over there and yank. Because you're liable to pull out the one pro-survival prop that's keeping this crazy quilt structure together. You've got a pro-survival valence. Maybe he's got just one, see, or two or three. And you start auditing out people from PC that he has never physically beaten up, that he's never poisoned or shot, and who have never beaten him up or poisoned or shot him, and you're in trouble. Now, this is something we don't particularly pay too much attention to in an HAS co-audit, but every once in a while you will find it running off of the rails in an HAS co-audit, and you won't know why auditing father is producing such poor results in this PC, and he's apparently getting worse. Well, it's just that you accidentally picked a pro-survival valence. Got it? Listen, by talking to somebody just back and forth, very little physical contact on the thing, you actually never really produce much aberration. Now, it's true that somebody can be with talk, can trick and betray and upset and throw somebody in an ash can. We're not talking about this thing. We're talking about the most that ever happened was the fellow argued a little bit, you see. But most of the time was pro-survival. Well, a pro-survival valence on overt withhold straight wire is verboten. Jawohl, mein Herr. Fräulein. Just knock it out. Just lay off. Stay away. You know, this mistake has been made. The reason I'm saying this so seriously is the mistake has been made time and time again in just the last 30 days. Yet we've known this for a very long time, you see. This is an old datum. Leave those pro-survival valences alone. Get the contra-survival valences off the case. Because the contra-survival valence is being counteracted by the pro-survival valence. And you get the pro-survival valence off, and the contra-survival valence will become stronger. Because the pro-survival valence is the antidote for it. You remove the medicine that's making him live. You see, he couldn't be himself anymore, so he found some person that he could emulate and became them. Now you take that person away, he has to become the person he was before, which was another person that was real bad, don't you think? Let's not keep making that mistake, huh? Let's keep it real. Let's take those valences off the case that have been harmful to the case. Let's not take those valences off a case that have been beneficial to the case. Right? All right. Now, every now and then, we do get away with auditing auditors. Okay? It takes out all the auditing. Perfectly all right. But for heaven's sakes, only do it when you got the case propped up. Because he's probably only being propped up by auditors. You should ask yourself why a case doesn't get further or get more done by auditing auditors off the case. You shouldn't be so willing to believe ill of your fellow practitioner. All right. Let's take up the next grade of case. The next grade of case is a very, very easy, interesting grade. It's for person who complain that auditing has no effect on them or who make very slow gains. Ah, this is an interesting case. This is the case that has broken our hearts, all of us, one way or the other. And we got them so taped today. It is with some pride that I give you the solution to this particular case. The one who made very slow gains, who says he has no effect and nothing ever changes. Of course, this is essentially your no-change case. And it's the change button which must be hit here. But unless you get the hold button off the case, one way or the other, you see, he's holding so hard that he can't change. We don't get anywhere with this case. And now you can kick this case down by kicking down the one postulate the case is sitting on. Now that postulate, this is a specific trick. We had lots of judgment and sickness. And a lot of things in TR5N is just TR5N. But this one is, again, simple, effective, and direct, and does require a clarification of the command with the PC, because he may be sitting on one or another side of this particular postulate. And we require some more judgment here. Now, what we're trying to get him to do is undo the postulate that nothing can have any effect upon him. Now, what he did was this. He tried to make his postulate stick in other people and failed and failed and failed, so his distance between him and them collapsed. He actually interiorized into these people he could have no effect on. One of the reasons he did this is because it seemed desirable to him to be in a position where nothing could have any effect on you. And it's not desirable at all, let me assure you. So, the postulate that we're interested in and are working with is simply nothing can have any effect on PC's name. Now, this is basically the postulate that we're trying to chip at. Now, what wording do we get this worded in such a way that will actually, as is the postulate? Now, there's the trick. Now, it could be many things. It could be nothing must be done to PC's name. That could be the auditing command. Or nothing can be done about PC's name. And it may not be in this life at all, at which time the name would be a misnomer. So, you could use something like nothing can have any effect on that mind. Now, the earlier version of this is inventive mind, nothing could have any effect on, is so deadly, actually deadly, and is so fraught with disaster and violence when run, that although it's a perfectly good process and can be used, it doesn't completely produce the results. Now, you tell me why. That's because people look on a mind as a sort of a condition and not a terminal. You get the idea? So the way you get around this one is having put it into the walls, and that gives you enough terminal. Anytime you have to run something the PC looks upon as a condition, you can always grab a hold of a wall and use it as a prop to make it a terminal. That's the old trick, you see. He's got to run a condition on this case. He's totally sold on this condition, and the postulate refers to a condition, so you just grab the handiest walls. Well, now, if you'll notice, in most rooms, there are six sides. There's the floor, the ceiling, the front wall, the back wall, and the right wall, and the left wall. All right? So, the whole auditing command is put the thought into that, designate the side wall, right wall, left wall, and so on. Put the thought into that designated room side, nothing can have any effect on PC's name. Or put the thought into that designated room sign. Nothing can affect that mind. Or nothing can be done about that mind. Or nothing can be done about PC's name. You got the idea? In other words, you select the wording of this thing that is the realest to the PC. And that'll actually show on an E-meter. You'll get the wildest drop on the right command. All right. Or you'll get the stuck, rather. Also, it'll go two ways. Sometimes the needle's been free, you get the right command, all of a sudden go... You've hit right into the middle of no effect, you see? Here you're using, actually, no effect. Now, this is something of a killer, and it takes, by experience here, somewhere between 15 to 25 hours of running it to handle one of these super no-effect cases. As I say, the basic process was invented mine, nothing could have any effect on. That was the basic process. And these others are dodges in order to keep the basic process from being quite so deadly. And the basic process can be also ineffective, whereas it is effective in this second form. The experimental process, as I say, repeat, was nothing can have any effect on. All right, depends on what makes the needle fall or stick. That was the thing. Now, we've handled now, in this particular lecture, the special cases of where we picked them up from. And this is actually the first lecture which has attempted to handle all special cases. Now, you've got the gen on what special cases we are targeting and calling special cases. You'll find a great many cases are special cases, unfortunately. To begin, now your basic mistake would be to think these special cases, since the worse off they are, the more complicated they are, exceed the processes I have just given you. They don't. They don't. You'll get there somehow or another. Now, of course, if you find a person who is basically always unwilling to be audited, who has a mind nothing can have any effect on, who is acutely ill, and has sunk into a coma, you've got yourself a doozy, and I will say someday you will probably meet him. But it's almost an impossibly complex situation. If a person is that bad off and he's acutely ill, he's very likely going to kick the bucket. And if an individual is that far gone, his response to auditing shouldn't cause you any particular heartbreak. What you should feel bad about is if you had a chance to try, what you should feel bad about is if you didn't try at all. That is about the only one that'll ever stick on the track. You totally withheld help. 'Tis better to give help and fail than to totally withhold it. But these special cases will surrender to modern processing. You sometimes have to have things to help you out. You sometimes have to have padded cells. And you sometimes have to have hospital rooms. And you sometimes have to have an additional auditor at the door keeping the doctors out and the nurses and things. Actually, that's sometimes necessary. And you sometimes need a special warrant from the High Commissioner or Lord Justice to permit the person to be processed. You need all sorts of oddities, maybe to back you up. But if you move it up to the point where you actually have a PC, whether he's unconscious and insane, unwilling, or unable to receive an effect, or he's ill, you can do something about it using these processes. So this is the first lecture in which we've enumerated these low-level cases, and the real name of this lecture, I guess, should have been Bedrock. Thank you.